And welcome to CAGcast episode number 483. I'm your host, GBD, here in Long Island, New York. And as always, we are joined by a man who's currently wearing a swim shirt, Wombat.
Look, it's comfortable.
And just in case, it's a good idea. You never know.
Yeah, I know. We all know that I'm really not wearing anything, but that's okay. Completely nude.
Hi, Ship. How you doing?
I was doing okay before that picture was in my mind.
It's your fault.
My fault.
Yeah, you said make a joke about a water slide, and that's what I came
actually,
up with.
Actually, I said that.
Oh, you said that. Okay, sorry. Somebody said it. I don't know.
So I saw your pictures of you going down a water slide, though. I want to hear about this. It took very little convincing for you to turn like this into a reality on your end.
Well, I didn't really have to do much. I just mentioned to Mrs. Chibi, I said, hey, Ship on the CAGcast said that he went to this water park, and I knew that she knows about it because there's one over here. What's it called again? Great Lodge or something?
Great Wolf Lodge.
Great Wolf Lodge. I left out the key word there. So I mentioned it to her, like, oh, maybe we can do something like that. And she found like a place that was much closer that didn't really have a water park, but had a nice indoor pool area with a slide, a big slide. So we did that, and Mrs. Chibi is...
Oh, so you went someplace different. Where'd you go?
I don't even know the name. Crystal something. It was in New Jersey.
Lake.
Crystal Lake. Camp Crystal Lake, I think.
Camp Crystal Lake.
Mrs. Chibi is very good at booking these trips. Like, she puts a good amount of effort into finding a good place and trying to get some good value out of it, and I think she really enjoys it. So it's great for me, because all I have to do is just mention... Oh, the Shipwrecks had a great time at a water park, and then we're in New Jersey. It was fun. The only downside, I would say. So when we were checking into the room, and Mrs. Chibi got a very nice room. It had one of those like fake fireplaces, the gas fireplace, and we walked in, and it smelled a little bit like gas. And I noticed it, and I said something to Mrs. Chibi, and she said, "Oh, maybe it's because of the fireplace or something." And I didn't really think about it again until 2 o'clock in the morning when the phone rings. And Mrs. Chibi answers, and she's like, And she tells me that somebody reported a smell of gas, you know, walking by our room at 2 in the morning, and they want to come in and see what's going on. Which is, you know, you don't want to get woken up with that phone call, basically. But they came in, and this room had a stove in it, and the people who stayed there before, I guess, used the stove and didn't turn the gas off properly, or somehow it got...
Wow, you're lucky that nothing sparked in that room.
I think it was only on very little, and that's why we didn't really smell it, because I saw when the guy was found the problem, when he turned the switch... It just was like only a little bit. It was barely. The dial was just a little bit off the off mark. So anyway, it wasn't that part wasn't fun, but everything.
I was going to say, you never know. That whole room could be filled with gas.
Yeah, of course.
Like the grandpa in Christmas Vacation.
That could have been us. That would have ruined the whole vacation. The whole one night vacation.
Yes. Yeah, your room exploding with you in it would definitely ruin a trip.
That would have ruined the reptile show for us too, as well.
There was a reptile show?
There was a reptile show, but yeah, it was pretty cool. They had some good reptiles, but it got too...
Did it go well? It went well.
Nobody, no. No, there was no, nothing exploded, and It got too hot in there.
Any reptiles?
You know, I looked.
No reptile dysfunction.
I looked over at Ty. You know, he was sitting very close to the reptile blanket display area, and he looked like very uncomfortable. And it was getting hot in there, so I asked him if he wanted to go, and he said yes. So we left early. So the answer is the reptile show was just okay. They need to work on climate control.
Gotcha.
But I guess the reptiles like it hot in there, maybe.
Was this like an old school kind of like a Catskilly kind of place? Did they have evening entertainment?
It wasn't like a Jewish one of those types of places. It was nice. It was like a ski lodge, basically. But there's like not much skiing going on now because there's no snow.
Understood.
But it was fun. It was very fun. Except for the
excellent. Well, you know, that's why everyone tuned into this show, to hear about your vacations.
I know. All right, let's get through this because I can't wait to talk about the Switch already.
All right. Should I do show feedback?
What if this isn't even qualify as show feedback? That's the best of feedback?
Pretty much.
What kind of feedback
really wasn't
is
all that? There wasn't really much to pull from.
Shipwreck, what's going on? Nobody's listening anymore?
No, there was a lot of comments this week. But
there were a lot of comments, but not a lot to repeat.
They were too vulgar?
I reread them all before we did the show. I just didn't see anything that jumped out at me. I'm sorry.
All right. Damn.
That's what Wombat thinks of you.
What do you mean?
Of the listeners who respond to our show.
Step up your game, people.
I just tweeted how the CAGBAC questions were awesome this week. Didn't you see me?
That's different.
Is it?
That's different. It's not show feedback. Feedback could use a little work.
You know, Super Programmer John just sent me the specs for the new CAG that's coming. And one of them is... When you're
Are they
listening
better than
to,
the Switch?
It's a lot better. You actually, you have to use the Switch now to access CAG. But you're and your phone is now a toaster.
I had a good run.
And you can comment in real time on the CAGcast, and they'll show up like sort of like how SoundCloud does it, or I guess exactly how SoundCloud does it. Anyway, maybe we'll get more comments or no comments. Who knows? Watch this, bitches.
Sure. What'd you watch? Something's there.
Ship? Uh-oh. Did we lose
Ship? Wait. I did a read this, bitches, not a watch this, bitches.
Oh, well, you put it in the wrong spot, bitch.
Well, the other one went in the wrong spot. There's no... The other one doesn't exist anymore. You deleted it.
I'm all thrown off. I don't know what's going... Up is down, black is white.
Somebody erased it. That important header. Okay,
did we watch anything? I didn't watch anything.
I mentioned on Twitter that I watched the first episode of Luther. Not Luther. Lucifer. Luther's a different show. Lucifer is back for a winter like break. I don't know, two or three episodes in January, and then they're back on break again. But the first episode was so funny. I was literally howling with laughter. Mrs. Chibi probably thought I was a mental patient.
Is that supposed to be a funny show?
Yes, yeah. It's got jokes. It's got great jokes. It's funny. You should give it a shot.
Probably not.
I don't know.
I'm not a big TV watcher. It's not...
Really? I find it like... we watch everything now on Hulu or Netflix, and without the commercials, everything's just so much more enjoyable. I would probably not watch the show if I had to go through the commercials or like BitTorrent it. But to have it just right there on Hulu or anything, whatever it would be on with no commercials, I'm a lot more inclined to watch these types of things.
I watch like American Pickers and Chopped. Those are like the two shows on TV.
I didn't know people still watched American Pickers.
I do.
I see that.
It's like it's on that one channel has it on nonstop, History Channel.
It does. That
it's
is
all
true.
They have on 24 hours a day is American Pickers.
You should talk
and
to
Food
Thorbon.
Network is all Chopped.
You should talk to Thorbon about that. Right? Isn't his family into that business? Someone in his family is.
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe we can start our own show.
They do pass over video games a lot in that show. Like they never... They pass over all the pinball and arcade and everything when they're like searching for their, I don't know, oil cans and stuff that I don't understand.
Well, pinball machines are a lot of work.
Sure. But I still think there's a market there for people to swoop in and get those.
Yeah, I'm not saying there's not a market for it, but that you have to really be into that market.
So what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, is we should start our own show and focus on video game picking, and it should star Thorbjorn and his family.
We just watch American Pickers and find the ones that they passed over all the stuff that we care about, and then go back to the same places.
I think this is a winning combination.
And then go on Chopped.
Right, because who doesn't want to go on Chopped?
Everyone wants to go on Chopped. Although we've been watching Cooks versus Cons lately, too. Which is just Chopped. So
yeah, it's not as good.
It's all right.
The hook isn't as good.
My kids like to guess on who the cook is and who the con is. So because there's an interactive element with my children,
okay,
we watch.
I have a question about that show.
Sure.
Are the cons actual like criminals?
No.
No.
That
would make a better show.
It's convicts versus.
And if they do not outcook the other contestants, they go back to jail.
So
it's really easy to tell who the cons are because they're not given nods.
Or they're wearing stripes. They're wearing striped.
And they all wear stripes.
No, but so the cons are just, they're not professional chefs. Is that what?
Exactly.
That's the difference. Yeah. They're not professional chefs, but they have cooking experience.
No, they can't. Yeah. Just anybody. Mm-hmm. You could be a con. You're hello freshening up these days.
Dude, I'm like a master now.
Exactly. You could be on there. You could be like, where's my cilantro?
Just send me all the ingredients first.
They do.
Is that how that show works?
Yeah.
Everything has to be set in the proper, you know, measurements and everything. And the recipe has to have 6 steps only. And I could do that.
You're in.
I'm in. I could do a great job. And pictures. Don't forget pictures. So read this, bitches. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I read Bitch Planet.
That sounds like a good book.
It's a comic book. Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was like a Shakespearean play or something.
Mm-hmm. I read the first 5 issues are on my Comixology subscription on Amazon.
How is that subscription? I still don't have that.
It's not bad. It's like $6 or something a month.
Yeah, like Marvel Unlimited is the same.
So. It's for that, it's worth it. Just because you get to read weird stuff. There's not a lot of, like, if you're going to look for superhero comics, there's not really a lot of those on there because there's no Marvel or DC. So this is all like the next tier of comics, I would say. Bitch Planet's, it's all right. It's like it's a throwback to like 60s or 70s like women in jail series, that type of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of it. I'm trying to think who wrote it. It's not like Rick Remender, is it?
The writer is Kelly Sue DeConnick.
Oh, DeConnick, yeah.
I do not know if I've read any of her stuff before. She looks familiar. Yeah. Oh, she wrote on Captain Marvel. So I have read some of her stuff. She's married to Matt Fraction.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, and she's married to another writer.
That would make sense because I've read plenty of his stuff. He is the writer of Sex Criminals. So
I remember that.
Yep. And Hawkeye. Yeah, Bitch Planet.
Really good Hawkeye stuff.
Bitch Planet, basically any of the women that do not comply with the men get sent to this other planet where they are incarcerated. And now they are forming basically a football team type of thing where they're going to compete against the men, like an extreme, like no holds barred type of football thing where people die. I think it's right up your alley.
Sounds pretty good.
I enjoyed the 5 issues of it I read.
Sounds a little silly, I'm not gonna lie.
You know what's a good comic that I've been reading lately? Or are you still going, Chipper?
No, that's talking. I think I touched all of the main points of Bitch Planet.
All right. I've been reading the new Mockingbirds. I think I've read the first 3, maybe 4. They're really good. If you're not reading the new Marvel Mockingbird series, I recommend it. It's very funny, especially if you're slightly familiar with, you know, the past incarnations of the character that haven't been all that exciting. So
I am
it's
not.
Really cool. Yeah, and if you're a fan of Hawkeye, it's definitely worth reading.
I am not.
Like the more recent Hawkeye comics play into it as well. For those who are, since Cheapy's not aware, Hawkeye and Mockingbird were a couple in really the late 80s, early 90s. So if you read like West Coast Avengers like I did, you're very familiar with them as a married couple. And currently they're divorced. And it comes into play every now and again. They're amicably divorced. So
sounds like a lot of laughs.
It is. It's very funny.
Cool.
Yeah, it is very funny. And very, you know, and well written. So check that out.
Okay. I finished Console Wars, finally. It's very long, so it took me a while. And I'm, I don't know. It was very good, though. I'd really recommend it to anybody who listens to the show, because you're definitely interested in the subject matter. And as much as you think you know, I guarantee you learn something interesting. And I don't know. It's just a very entertaining read. I know people have complaints that they didn't like how the author, you know, the book reads like a movie. It's got dialogue in it, but it's nonfiction. So obviously the author has to make up dialogue, and some people objected to that on Twitter whenever I would write how much I was enjoying the book, I would get that. But I don't know, like, do those people not watch movies? Because even movies that are based on a true story, because that's the same thing pretty much.
But have you gone back to read any of his articles on Slash Film?
No. I didn't know that the author had written for Slash Film.
Yeah. Blake Harris, right? That's him. Mm-hmm. Has written a whole bunch of articles on Slash Film that correspond with the How Did This Get Made podcast. I know you'll never listen to the podcast, but he's not on the podcast, but he writes these articles for them. It's worth checking out.
Cool. Mm-hmm. The book is $2, I think, on Kindle right now. So that's pretty cheap. I got a copy for you, Wombat.
Excellent. I like books.
It's heavy.
A kid's favorite gift is always a book.
All right. I don't know what that means. But okay. We got to move forward, though, because we got to talk about Switch. New releases. Quick, blow through these. Bam. Bam.
I know Wombat's been playing Rise and Shine. Tell me about that, because you said I would like it, but
You would like it very much. It's a 2D side-scrolling, very old school, can be incredibly difficult game that takes place in a fictional video game universe where there are lots of, you know, winks to past video games. You get your weapon from the legendary hero that's dressed like an elf, you know, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
You know, characters that
I like,
you know who
games.
They're supposed to be. Huh? Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, like a, think like a Wreck-It Ralph, but without using the actual licenses.
I just watched that. Speaking of Wreck-It Ralph, we just watched that for the first time with Emmeline.
Ah.
And we got to the end of it and asked her what her favorite part was. And she said it was when the bug ate Jane Lynch's character's fiance when they were getting married.
Nice.
That was the moment that stood out to her.
I hope so. Are you saving for therapy, or are you just like, or are you just gonna
like,
wait?
We got done with the movie and she's just like, so where's that guy at? Ooh, what? No, he's gone.
That's funny.
Well, you remember,
but
what?
Yeah, no, Rise. It's you know, you're running to the right of the screen. You have a gun, different bullet types to do different things, and some of them are used to solve puzzles. And it's, you know, it's really challenging, but I've been able to get through pretty far. The only reason why I kind of stopped playing it is because it froze on me at a part after I just did something very difficult and I needed to take a break. But it's very good. It looks great. And it's, you know, it's got a lot of charm. It's definitely worth checking out.
Cool. So anything else in these new releases? Looks pretty light.
Yeah, I don't think there's much
Gravity
else.
Rush 2 is coming. And I have that pre-ordered.
Cool.
And
enjoy.
Is Pit People the...
That's the Behemoth game,
Behemoth
right?
Game, right? Yeah.
Oh, really? They have another game?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It looks just like Castle Crashers.
Why wouldn't it?
Don't all their games kind of look like Castle Crashers?
No, but this really looks like Castle Crashers.
I mean, it's kind of crazy that Castle Crash, like, they didn't make a Castle Crashers 2, right?
No.
No.
Like, that's...
That would have been a good idea.
They never even made an Alien Hominid 2.
Well, but, come on, Alien Hominid did not do nearly the sales numbers.
No, it didn't put them on the map.
Castle Crashers, like...
I can't even name the game they made after Castle Crashers.
I remember
something
it.
With the shapes, right? There were shapes. But Battle Block Theater.
Yep. Yep.
Thank you.
It was good. I liked that.
Good job. Didn't say it was bad. I just said I couldn't tell you what the name of it was.
This looks like Castle Crashers. That's hard to say, Castle Crashers.
Sure.
What else?
I'm excited for Gravity Rush 2, though.
Okay.
That's
your mouth.
I've never played that.
Sneaking out. Of course, the first one, like, it started on Vita, and so the controls are kind of iffy on the first one. I'm hoping, since this one is just straight up made for a console, that it's a little bit, it feels a little bit better while you're playing it.
Sure.
But the whole, I don't know, gravity thing and zipping around thing was fun in the first one. I never finished the first one, but I liked it.
I should watch a video or something
of Gravity Rush 2. Yeah, I think you'd be perfectly, like, you would not like Gravity Rush 1. Right. Just because it's a little bit too janky for you.
Yes, I'm such a snob. Get your janky shit out of here.
I know what you want.
Shiv knows what I want.
You want Dragon Quest VIII, Journey of the Cursed King for the 3DS.
No.
I bet that's...
I'm sure it's not bad.
I bet it's pretty good.
Yeah. I was going to say, that doesn't surprise me. Dragon Quest games tend to be good. Although I think the last one I played was 6. Is that possible? I'm trying to think.
Anything else?
No, that's all of the new releases.
Good. Got to talk about Switch. All right. Wombat.
Yeah.
It's time for your Overwatch Onslaught and multi-platforming news and stuff.
Oh. Are we going to talk about... What's going on here with ZeniMax?
There's that whole lawsuit is happening right now. That ZeniMax versus Oculus, Facebook, Carmack thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where ZeniMax claimed that Oculus or Carmack specifically took a bunch of code with him. They claim a lot of stuff in that thing. There was no shortage of
claims
in this suit, but apparently Carmack admitted to taking thousands of documents and lines of code.
He did so, today.
He was questioned by ZeniMax lawyer last week, and I just saw that the quote came out today.
Reading it right here. Oh my god. It's, what?
The quote was last week. I copied files that I shouldn't have. I think stealing is an uncharitable way to look at it, since I didn't benefit and ZeniMax didn't lose. But I shouldn't have done it, and I did. Then he said, by the strict intellectual property definition, he didn't say that, but it... This is a little bit different quote than what I saw before. It looked like he had taken snippets of source code, but not the entire source code. But then he said that some source code could have been included in attachments. That does not sound
good.
That doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good for the defense.
It sounds good for ZeniMax.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It doesn't sound good for Palmer Luckey.
ZeniMax's claim, I remember when they filed the lawsuit, they said that he's a charlatan, that Lucky portrays himself as this whiz kid genius that developed VR in his garage, but the reality is they just stole it from ZeniMax, and he's just a marketing
ZeniMax,
guy.
If ZeniMax wins the lawsuit against, are they suing Facebook?
Yep.
I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, so Facebook's... ZeniMax sues Facebook... So let's say Facebook loses. Do they turn around and sue Palmer Luckey? For fraud?
To try to get his money back? The money back?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean...
It's not good. None of this
no,
is good.
It's not.
Wow. This is going to be...
He should know better. Like, thousands of documents? Like, that's not just like, I copied myself on this email that had like some personal information on it.
Right.
Who does he think he is? Hillary Clinton?
But now he's got to put himself in the position of proving that he didn't use any of any information in those thousands of documents that he stole. How can you do that?
Well,
that's going to be tough.
It's going to be extremely tough. It taking like just taking lines of code with you is you can't do that. Like you sign an agreement when you're working with a company that anything that you're making while you're there on their computers, especially.
I'm sure he's had his employees sign those agreements.
Right. I don't know.
Crazy.
I look forward to seeing how this develops.
As do I. All right. What else we got here, Wombat?
We got, sorry, I was looking at the Gizmodo article. I picked up, and you picked this up too. Did you play any Toy Soldiers yet?
Yeah. I'm not that
Hall
impressed.
Of Fame edition?
Yeah. It was $10.
You didn't play as He-Man?
I did. It's pretty janky.
Did you really? I don't think it's that janky.
Did you
play with Ty at all?
Yeah.
No fun? You
it's
didn't
even
have
more
fun?
Janky on a split screen.
I guess we're two different people. Sabrina and I have been playing it like almost every day. Like we go to war against each other.
Don't you destroy her?
No.
What?
She's pretty good.
Oh.
She picked up on her pretty quickly. I was actually really impressed.
Well, maybe. So, I don't know. It looks so blurry, though. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm surprised
it's
that
you're
having
these. It's not a fantastic looking game.
No.
No, but.
At times it looks okay, but like, I don't know. It looks pretty chunky sometimes. Well,
I kind of like it. I'm enjoying it.
Look, it's $10.
I liked what I played of it.
Yeah. Yes. You didn't play very much of it because I've beaten all your high scores. That's how I could tell that you haven't played very much.
I am not the greatest of that game either.
Really? I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I mean, I played and completed the first two. So to have not finished, played this one yet, I think is more surprising. But yeah, $10, it was hard to pass up.
Thanks for the heads up on that. I will admit to enjoying turning into He-Man and saying, I have the power, and the music comes on. And then me smashing things for 10 seconds.
Yeah. See, that's kind of cool.
That was cool.
Yeah. And so,
did G.I. Joe have the music too?
Yes. It's definitely worth, I would also say stick with it a little bit. Give it a shot. All right.
It's just a little, I don't know. Maybe I'm getting spoiled with these next gen graphics, I guess.
I guess so. I don't know. I like it. Maybe I'm just less picky than you when it comes to things like this. Maybe.
All right. How's Deus Ex going?
Okay. So I'm getting better at this game. I'm a little further. People still definitely talk too much, but I maybe like, I don't know. Let's say I'm like 10 hours in. It may even be more than that. It probably is more than that. Maybe 12 or 15 hours in. I think I figured out what the plot of the game is.
Okay.
It took me 15 hours to realize. Here's the plot of Deus Ex, by the way. I'm just going to say, it's not a spoiler. So you're an agent, and you're trying to stop the bad guys.
You figured it out, huh?
Took me 15 hours, but I'm pretty sure that's what the game is about.
I don't know why they make the story so complicated in these games.
There is no reason. There is no reason for literally 95% of the dialogue in this game. This game could be cut 95% of the dialogue, and you would absolutely lose nothing.
They could save a lot of money.
Yeah. I will admit, though, when you're in, like, I had to break a guy out of a police station who was being interrogated. And you start off, at least I started off on, because you could really start from almost anywhere in these buildings. And I started off on the second floor, and I took out four guys. And I tweeted about it today. I killed the first guy, which I kind of felt guilty about after the fact, even though he's not a real person. But I guess that does mean that I have a soul.
Right.
Picking up back on last week's episode, I may not cry at movies, but I feel guilt on killing fake people.
Right. For 1 second.
And then it was cool because I threw an EMP grenade down because there was a giant robot man, and I fried the robot man, and then when they were all confused, I was able to knock out the other two guys. It's very satisfying.
Nice.
So it has that. It has definitely some things feel satisfying in the game.
It's coming together for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, I was going to say, but it took 15 hours for things to really feel satisfying.
All right.
But I'll stick with it. Nice. How's that Final Fantasy 15 going there, Shipwreck?
I am also 15 hours or so into that game now. And yeah, I'm going to keep playing that game.
Do you know what that's about yet?
Not really, because I'm still on the same mission for like a month. I mean, I didn't play it for a month straight or anything, but
I know.
Yeah, I'm on like chapter 3, which is really early, but they keep giving me side missions. And so I just keep on going and getting stuff for people and bringing it back to the people and then getting XP and items, do a little fishing, drive around in my car with my buddies.
Your bros.
That is a weird game. It oddly satisfying though. Like, it's a very chill experience to just like go out and do side missions in this game.
Yeah.
It's not anything too difficult. The battle system is still like, I don't feel like I really truly understand what I'm doing.
Perfect.
The upgrade system seems ridiculous to me. I open it up and just spend the points I have on whatever because I can't be bothered to figure out exactly what these words are that I'm reading. But it all seems to go along just fine.
Right.
I think I'm like, my characters are close to level 30 right now. And the main mission it wants me to do, the suggested level is level 10. So
too many side missions.
I'm feeling pretty good about my chances on that main mission when I get it for it.
You need that, I think, with those Final Fantasy games. You do have to grind, you know.
Well,
at some
I don't
point.
Think you have to do it that as much as I'm doing.
But no, like, no. But you're preparing for the future, though.
Sure. It's just like the things are so trivial to go do. It's like, hey, go catch me this fish. I'm like, all right, that seems reasonable. I guess I'll stand here and fish for a while.
It's funny because this is it. Deus Ex has similar problems. Where
these aren't,
you know,
problems. These are icons on a map that I can make go away.
Exactly, and it's just the same thing in Deus Ex where it's like where especially early in the game, there's all these side missions, and you want to do them all. It's like, oh, I need papers to get out of the city. I know someone who makes papers. Can you go get the papers for me? I guess. Then you go and you talk to someone, and it's like 5 minutes of talking, and after 5 minutes, she's like, oh, you want the papers? You got to go here. And it's all the way on the other side of town. And then it's another 10 minutes of talking. So, yeah. Slow start, Deus Ex.
You get like 5 or 6 minutes of just like putting your controller down while the computer drives you somewhere?
No.
That is fantastic. It's just like, oh, I guess this is Twitter time. Got to see what's going on Twitter while I drive to my next location.
Wow.
Deus Ex has the, oh, I set off an alarm, now 8 people just shot me. I guess I'll sit here for 2 minutes while the game loads.
No good.
Yeah. It has that.
All right. Fuck it. Let's talk about the Switch.
Yeah. It's enough negativity about games that we're actually enjoying. Let's be negative about things we won't enjoy.
No, we're not. First of all, listen. We have to have a disclaimer beforehand.
Oh, sorry.
We're going to be critical, okay? Not necessarily negative. The idea is to be critical.
Uh-huh.
And I think, at least
I'm
for
just
me.
I'm going to be honest. I don't even know if I'm going to be critical or not.
Yeah, well,
I'm
that critical means, you know, critical not in the sense of being a critic, but of applying like logic to things.
Okay.
Why should we start doing this now?
Why are he giving the disclaimer?
Yes, please, right. Come on. You're ruining the disclaimer. What else was I going to disclaim? I think that we all would like Nintendo to succeed.
Very much so.
With their consoles. Nobody wants to see the video game industry hurting in any capacity. That's not good for anybody. Okay, that's the end of the disclaimer.
Did you watch this presentation?
I watched the presentation.
All of it?
No.
Oh, okay. I watched all of it. I told myself I was just going to watch a little bit at the beginning. But that beginning hooked me. I was like, I got to see where this is going.
That was like they hooked you by rappelling you. They like tried to repel you, and you're like, wait a minute, are they trying to get me to stop watching?
Did you think, like, to start with, we were just going full on Waggle? We're the Waggle is back.
Waggle's back, baby.
We are bringing the Waggle back.
Well, that's what worked for them in the past.
Well, I realize that.
To a point, though.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to bring that back.
The Waggle was really effective. The Waggle with the Wii was super effective at showing well on TV and getting people to say, hey, that thing looks like fun that I could do with my whole family in the living room. And then people bought it. A lot of people bought it, sold over 100 million units. Mm-hmm. They got it home. They played Wii Sports, had an awesome time for like a half an hour or an hour.
I'd give it more than that.
Okay, no, but then they then like played it like a, maybe another time or two, and then never touched it again.
I think you're being a little hyperbolic there. I think people played Wii Sports a lot.
A lot?
I do.
Okay, maybe.
I do think a lot of, especially with kids, Wii Sports, and then people picked up Mario Kart.
Okay, fine. That's fair. I mean, that maybe I was speaking on my own personal experience there.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, there's.
But the point,
everybody played Wii Sports.
Okay, but the point is the waggleness becomes a gimmick at some point where you're just not getting. There's not that much to it, and you can't the fun that you get out of it hits a peak and then falls off dramatically after that. And I don't know that you can really change that with a new console if it's just more Waggle.
Well, and that's not just what this is, but we're just talking about the Waggle.
Yes, yes. They kicked off
because that's what they led with.
Yes, I was shocked by that, quite frankly.
The craziest thing about this 1-2 Switch game to me is they show you this console. This thing has a screen on it. I'm not crazy here. This thing, one of its prominent features...
It is a screen.
It is a screen. And then they're immediately telling you, don't look at that. That is not what we made this for. Here, look at somebody else and we're going to milk a cow. And like, as funny as that is, like, I appreciate the humor in it. Makes for great GIFs online.
Right.
It doesn't match up with everything else they presented. Like, sure, the arms game, the boxing game, also used the Waggle. Those were the two Waggle games. Like, the other games probably have some motion control stuff.
But they led with that. Well, they led with a price, right?
Which was fine. Uh-huh. Should we talk about the price or finish up the Waggle?
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the price.
Okay. $299. I think Wombat said that price.
Woohoo! I think I did too.
Yeah. I think you were $299. I think I was $349. I think Cheapy was $250.
$249.
Yeah. It was going to be somewhere in that range.
Yeah, we all agreed. I think I only picked that price because it was in the middle of you guys.
Right. By the same, I shot a little high just because, why not? Let's go for $350. Let's go all in.
I mistakenly thought that Nintendo had learned their lesson, but I hadn't read Console Wars at that time, so I would have revised my answer. Anyway, so yeah, $300 gets you the Switch, the dock, two Joy-Cons, and a thing that you can attach two Joy-Cons to form one controller. And that's it, right?
The cables. The cables.
Okay, great. Yeah. I think
the surprise there was no pack-in game.
Yep.
Just because I... Like, well, you alluded to, the Wii...
The Wii,
that game in.
Yeah. So did the Wii U had a packing game.
Yes, it did.
It had Nintendo Land.
Was it great? But
it was something.
It was something. They've had a history of packing games in here for at least the last two consoles. And Reggie talked about it. He said it was because they wanted to be at the $300 price, and that is
an answer.
So they could put a game. It was a game. Yeah, this is his answer. It's fine. I have no problem with that answer. If they wanted to charge $300 for it, they knew how much profit they wanted to make. And this is what they settled on. But I think part of that, too, is because they're not sure what this thing is. They don't know what people want. It's got the Waggle stuff. So do you throw a Waggle game in there? Is that what this console is? Or do you throw Zelda in there because everybody, that's the game everybody's going to want anyways?
No, they ain't throwing that shit in.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, you don't throw in Zelda. The problem is that they're not prepared with a game that kind of falls in between at launch to sort of show what this console can do or is sort of meant for. Because like Cheapy said, they may not know themselves.
No, Ship said that. But I think that 1-2 Switch game would be perfect for a pack-in.
A lot of people were saying that. But isn't that really more a little too Wii-like? Or...
But they led with that in the presentation. Here was like the marketing lead on the Nintendo Switch through that presentation. Okay, it's a home console that you can take with you. Okay, it's not a portable console that you can use at home. Don't say that. Okay, it's a home console that you can take with you on the go. That's the messaging throughout the presentation, and in all the post presentation stuff. So those 1-2 Switch games, when they're demoing them, they all look like they would be enjoyed like away from home. So I don't understand why that would go against the messaging.
They're trying to show you could take this somewhere and play it like a console on the go, which I don't know. That market seems extremely small. I don't know what that market is. The thing with it, like with leading with the two motion games, this and ARMS, mm-hmm. which ARMS looks like it definitely leans more towards like traditional gamer mm-hmm. style. But
I still don't understand, and you and I briefly talked about this, why they didn't call it Punch-Out : ARMS.
I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me either. But they're trying to put a new IP out there. I know that they're hoping this catches on kind of like Splatoon does. I just don't think that putting people bought the gamer-focused Wii Motion games on the Wii because we didn't have a choice. If we were going to want to play something, we had to play it with those controls on mm-hmm. the Wii. This is okay. Here's a game that looks like what gamers kind of want to play. Like it looks like a fun game. People have the springy arms. Mm-hmm. It looks like a Ready to Rumble type of Power Stone-y, that type of thing. But now you've brought back these motion controls, which I don't think that crowd
With ARMS, you don't have to use the motion controls for that game.
Okay, good. Why aren't they there?
Which is good. Yeah.
The motion control part of their presentation did not mesh with anything else they showed.
They didn't have much to show is a big problem. And I think this is a classic case of Wombat's this product doesn't exist yet. I think there's a lot of signs that there's a lot of stuff that's not finished yet for this thing.
But they go with Wombat's shelf.
It doesn't exist.
Wombat's dream. They had Wombat's dream when they were inventing this, but then realized that it's not possible.
Wombat
wanted this thing to do everything. He wanted them to have all their portable games on here and have Nintendo just developing for one console and. What were some of your other things? You wanted superpowers?
Well, it was the basic argument, because GP always likes to say that, you know, Nintendo's biggest competition is Apple. And my argument has always been that Nintendo's biggest competition has always been Nintendo. And the reason why, you know, I never felt the reason to have to get a Wii U was because I had a 3DS and all the IPs that I want to play are available on that console. May not be the same games, but it scratches that itch. You know, I have a 2D Super Mario Brothers game, a 3D Super Mario Brothers game, a more recent Legend of Zelda game that's excellent, and, you know, Kirby, Mario Kart, Smash Brothers. I have all of those games. I own all of them. So when people, you know, and you included, Chipwreck, said, I don't have a Wii U, how can I talk about Nintendo? I've played all of their major IPs within the last 3 years.
I didn't say you couldn't talk about Nintendo. I just said you didn't know what you're talking about with the amount of Wii games. You had how many Mario games there were on the Wii U.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, so the reason why I never needed a Wii U is because I have those games. I have my Animal
Crossing. So you're not going to need a Switch either.
Exactly. Well, that's what's so interesting is, you know, they've come out recently in the last really couple of days, and very importantly today, with all the Fire Emblem announcements, that, you know, they're still heavily going to support the 3DS. So,
and
it's
mobile.
Very, huh?
And mobile.
And mobile. So it's very confusing why they decided to make the Switch like this if the intention isn't to have it be everything.
It's not.
They're all in one.
It's
well, that's what
that.
I mean. It's like, but why? Why have the home console suffer because of it?
I saw something. Well, I agree with that. I said before, just make the home console version. Like, even if it's underpowered, you get the price down.
Oh, yeah.
It would be $200 without a tablet.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the price down, and you have a console that plays all these virtual console games that they're going to have. You can charge for the online if you want, whatever. You can do all this other stuff. You just don't have this weird semi-portable product that you're making consoles games for. Which I understand people, like, it definitely has a place. It just doesn't have the huge market that it could because of that $300 price tag. I lost my train of thought. It's so easy to lose your train of thought on this thing.
Because I've spent this whole week just really thinking about the Nintendo Switch and trying to figure out what Nintendo's motivations were.
I think that there was an intention on making it their all-in-one console.
I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen.
I think they may have realized too late that they can't have it be their all-in-one console.
Well, here's what they can do, though. They can, in a way. Okay, they can put out the Switch. They're putting out the Switch now, $300. Okay, if this thing can hang in there for a year, which it can hang in there for a year or two. I'm sure it can do fine. They can put out a modified version of this thing that doesn't hook up to your TV at all. It's all in one. Maybe the little things don't slide off. It's just like a Vita or something.
But are they better off going in the other direction? Like Shiprick and I were just talking, maybe they have one that just connects to your TV. No tablets.
Well, I think they, at that point, they could do both. And yeah. And if it does, I think this is too good of an idea for them to implement is my problem. Like, this entire time I'm thinking, Nintendo is not going to want to get rid of just their portable side. That is the side that they make money in. And I realize that that is getting smaller for them. But they're the only game in town there, as far as outside of like if
premium portable right. gaming, where you're paying $40 for a game or so,
right?
And you feel as though those games are worth it,
right?
That's the difference.
It creates a difficult pricing structure for them, just game wise, if they have different games coming out, which like they have their portable Zelda here on the same console as their normal Zelda. And they're priced very similarly because they're both Switch games.
No, they're going to be the same game. It's going to what they're going to do.
But no, but they can't have it the same game because they can still make that old Zelda. That's the thing. Like they.
But why not just make two Zelda games
here
now?
Still.
Two different games.
Right, but the pricing then becomes an issue.
There's no issue. $60. What's the issue? There's
right,
no issue at all.
That's the issue.
Yeah,
that's
look,
the issue.
They're gonna look. I mean, Nintendo is not being aggressive on pricing at all. They've said fuck it. They said, hey, we're Nintendo, buy our shit. We have a Nintendo tax. Oh, you want the Pro controller? That's $70. Oh, you want another dock to hook up your TV? Even though it's just a piece of plastic and an HDMI cable. Oh, $90. How about that? I mean, they obviously think that their shit is worth, you know, a premium, and I don't see that. They would have any problem selling. Look, now it's just one Zelda game. Who's to say if it's, you know, it's not worth $60? It's the same exact game you get on the home system. Except
well, no, it's not. That's what I'm saying.
Why not?
Because you don't want it to be. They make totally different 2D Zeldas that people love.
Right.
Those are still going to get made.
Maybe they'll put those on mobile.
No, but it's.
No, that wouldn't work.
That's.
It doesn't work. It doesn't make
no,
money.
No, it doesn't work. That's,
they don't make money. Yeah.
They've tried to create a space here that I don't think exists, and it's the space in between portable gaming and console gaming, which like, they've already got covered by portable gaming.
Right. They're saying you're saying
again, yeah. Nintendo's biggest competition is going to be themselves.
I agree with that.
If there's going to continue to make Fire Emblem games for the 3DS and announce those as the first thing they announce when they have their treehouse on Fire Emblem, you know, again, I can think of a lot of, I wouldn't be surprised if you were like, well, maybe I'll wait a year on the Switch because that's the game I want, and I'll just wait and I'll buy it on the 3DS, which I already have.
What, there's like six unless launch you, games.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, obviously, I'm excited to play a brand new Legend of Zelda game, but I don't know if I need to spend $350 in March in order to do it.
$360.
Did you want a controller?
No, I don't.
Can you afford a pro controller?
I think sliding the two wackadoos on the center blocky should be fine.
It's not going to be fine.
It looks
weird. You're going to want the pro controller.
That's what they call it, right? Sliding the wackadoos on the pro hickey.
Yeah.
Fuck, they're so cheap, Nintendo. They just. And what about this? Let's talk about the online service that is. They have now a paid online service. That, as everybody knows, they offer you an NES game and an SNES game a month, and then they take it back at the end of the month.
Is it one of each? I thought it was just one total.
I heard it was just one.
Oh,
game.
Sorry.
Right.
It's an or, not an and. And at the end, you only have it for the month. When the month is up, you don't have it anymore.
And there is no real online service built into the console. It's going to be in an app on your phone. That you download everything that you do online.
And there's no media. There's like no media apps either. So there's Netflix at launch.
No. It doesn't sound like they're too interested in that.
It doesn't need Netflix. Let's be honest.
It needs Netflix and YouTube.
You think so?
Kids use Netflix and YouTube.
I understand that, but they probably already have something in their room that has Netflix.
That does not matter. Do you want to use this device or do you want to use something else in your room? That is the problem with going with this online strategy that they're going with too.
They're making people use their competitor to access online, basically, in a way.
There's a lot about this that doesn't make sense. And a lot of it that I feel like they may work on. A lot that I feel as though they need to work on throughout the year, which makes me hesitant to buy this at launch. Not that I was going to anyway.
Oh, you got to be crazy to buy this at launch.
I'm buying it at launch.
I'm buying it too. I'm crazy.
Yeah. I want to play that Zelda game.
I do too.
Okay. I really want to play that Mario game, but it's not out till the fall.
I mean,
holiday season, I guess.
If you're buying, pre-ordering a Switch, you're just.
You know what you're doing.
Right. You're saying, like, fuck it to reason. And saying, oh,
you got
I really...
me, Nintendo. Right.
Right. I like Nintendo, and I'm going to buy this thing, even though I know the online...
Which is fine. It's perfectly fine to think that way.
Of course.
Way.
Yeah. I'm in. Sure. Fuck it. Let's see. Let's have some laughs. I'm sure. I'm excited to play Zelda. It looks fun.
Mm-hmm.
And what are the other launch games? 1-2 Switch. I'm not interested in that. Skylanders.
Chance. Already have it.
Just Dance.
Nope. Super Bomberman R.
No thanks.
I am a big Bomberman fan, so I'm interested in that.
It's $50 right now. They have not confirmed a price for this game yet. It was $60 and now it's down to $50.
The problem
that
is
seems like a lot for Bomberman R.
Well, imagine like you want to get extra controllers so your friends can play.
Right.
Four player. Are you kidding? Like, forget it.
Is it going to be online? I hate to ask the question.
Oh, but you want to play that game. You just want to play, You want to play that with people on the couch. That's where the fun is.
You want to be able to smell that burp.
That was pretty gross. I had a spinach. Listen to this. I had a spinach and bacon pizza tonight and it was fantastic. Oh, I want to.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I mean, the Bomberman game, it looks fun, but that... It's hard to justify that price.
Well, think how much it's going to cost if you want to put together four player. I mean, it's an 8-player game. Think about if you want to play four players locally, how much that's going to cost you. I can't figure it out. I guess it's like, so you only need to buy two sets. Oh, no, one more set of Joy-Cons, I guess.
Yeah, but you don't want to play with those.
Right. My hands hurt already just thinking about that. So what would I have to do? I'd have to buy three sets of Joy-Cons
Get three pro controllers.
Three times 70.
Eight Pro controllers.
Great. I don't know. This is, it's pretty pricey, I would say. Was it what else?
Puyo Puyo Tetris, right?
Which one?
Is that a launch game? Puyo Puyo Tetris?
Is that launch?
Or is that, maybe it's close to launch, I think, at least. That's a great game. I have it for Xbox One.
It's not a great launch lineup. The Wii had a much better launch. Wii U had a way stronger launch lineup, I think. I did watch the video for Snipper Clips. That looked kind of cute. But is that, like, they're going to charge $60 for that, right? Is that?
Assume so. That was like a student project that they picked up and finished.
Okay.
Do you think Nintendo's strategy is just to get people to pay $60 for portable games? And they just figure, like, fuck everything else? Let's just do this.
I don't know. I don't know what their strategy is.
That's not a great strategy, I would say. Like,
I don't think that they know what their strategy is with this. Just with all the different features that this thing does, there's nothing clear-cut. Like, the clearest-cut thing you have is you can play not current console level games, but like last console generation level games on the go. Like, that's the main selling point of this thing. They're new games. Don't get me wrong with that. I'm just saying, like, tech wise.
Skyrim.
Well, that game is announced. This is one thing. That game is announced. That game does not have a date until fall. That game is a 5-year-old game that I would be very surprised if it ever comes out.
Whoa.
On the system.
Whoa.
Very surprised. I don't think this thing can run it.
I think it'll come out. I don't know how well it's going to run, but I think it's going to come out.
Bethesda has never put out a game for Nintendo console.
Hey, that's why I think it'll come
out. This thing has been, they've announced that there was a Vita. Was that Skyrim? It was another Scrolls. I can't remember if it was Skyrim. That never came out on the Vita. They never got a portable version of whatever Elder Scrolls was announced for Vita. I don't think they can make this thing run on the Switch.
I'm curious to see what happens. I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Through batteries so fast.
Oh yeah, it's like it'll be like an hour and a half.
But
yeah, they say three hours on Zelda, but real world, I don't know what that actually is after you go through a few cycles.
There's a lot more going on in Elder Scrolls than Zelda as far as like what's constantly going on in the world.
Hey, it could be running like a PC port at low settings.
But there's so much background stuff going on in that game.
Wow.
Like I have my doubts. Like as soon as I saw that was not like anywhere near the launch of this thing, and when they have not really shown any footage of it, just like Todd Howard saying, yep, we're really excited about the Switch. Here's our 5-year-old game that we kind of put a video on it.
Right. That's how into it we are. And what about these other guys just standing in front of logos and drawings? That's not great for a presentation.
Well, you know, it's the promise of a bright future.
Yeah, but
know.
You should. I think you'd want to show like footage at this point. Like, things coming out now.
It's the idea of a console that, you know, at best is going to have how many games a year are they going to be able to put out for this console? How many games a year are you getting? And again, you know, it could also come down to, and I see the other side of the argument on, well, how many games do I really need? But, you know, you're buying this console to be your Nintendo machine, right? I mean,
that's what it is. This is, for all intents and purposes, this is the follow-up to the Wii U. And it falls very much into the third-party support that got.
And in many ways, it's very much like a follow-up to the Wii U. It has a tablet and... Although I guess you can't use the tablet and have it on your TV at the same time, right?
No, it veers from the Wii U in that direction.
Which is kind of strange, I guess.
Well, it's because the dock doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think this through. I but if they're going to continue to support the 3DS, you know, if a Zelda game is coming out on the 3DS in 2018, where would I be if that's what I'm, you know, no, feel that's like, not oh, happening. Now's the time.
I don't think that's happening.
I think they have another portable in development. I really
That's
do.
Not, that's a totally, that's a different platform than Switch?
Maybe. I see the Switch as very reactionary to the Wii U just bombing extremely hard.
But then how come they made something so similar? That's what it was almost like this was something.
Like, well, because like they know the main complaint about the Wii U is that everybody thought it was a tablet that you could take with you. And then they realized you can't go out of the room with it.
Right.
So they thought they solved it by making it portable. And then they thought,
but that's not
well, the
people,
Wii was really popular. So let's get some motion controls on there. And maybe that'll bring Hook people them. Back.
And I think at the end of the day, all people want is a cheap machine that they could play their Nintendo games on at home.
I think, and a portable, but they're not the same thing.
Yeah, but it's not portable. It's a home console that you could take with you.
Well, I mean, that to be clear when we're saying that, this thing is portable. It has a 2 to 7 hour battery life on it, is what they're
which
claiming.
Is similar to what the 3DS has.
But it doesn't have the portable games and it doesn't have the portable price to become Nintendo's portable.
It's also
buying
portable in like
Switches for your kids.
It's also portable in that you can bring it with you, not that you can fit it in your pocket or fit it even like it's big. It's pretty sizable.
I mean, but when compared to a 2DS, which is $80, comes with Mario Kart and already has a library behind it. I just, again, it's that competition. Sell. It's a tough sell against itself. My son just got his first 2DS. This is where I'm coming from on this. He's really, you know, I mean, he's 5 years old. He can really barely play anything well, but he loves playing the Mario, you know, 2D Super Mario Brothers on that. He loves it. So, you know, he's a Nintendo fan. Sabrina is totally into Animal Crossing still. They're both still Nintendo fans. But they don't need a Switch because they have those games on something that I already have in my house. And to be honest, neither one of those games is going to be on that console at launch anyway. And there's no announcement of an Animal Crossing game anyway. I mean, there might be one, but when? And, you know, is that what we're buying? Is that what we're buying this for? So I could play the games, you know, I do believe Nintendo does have some new IPs up their sleeve that are probably exciting and that I would probably very much enjoy. But is it really the promise of the old ones? I think so.
I think people put too much faith like in what they imagine Nintendo is.
I think they have it in them. And I also think that there are other IPs that they could probably dip into that well and maybe come up with something.
What's your favorite new Nintendo IP of the last 10 years?
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure there's something out there.
Right. Uh-huh. It's a bunch of old guys who don't want to do anything different. They just want to stay the course, change as little as possible, just go with the flow.
I mean, I'm not a Splatoon. No risks. I've never owned Splatoon, but people seem to like it. It's something. Right.
Well, sure, but what's your favorite new IP that you're? What's this one that you're looking forward to?
I don't know. I still think that there's room in this world for a new Metroid game, like a real Metroid.
There it is. The hope, the Nintendo hope. That
I know.
This is
going to
be the console that has the games I want.
But that's why I haven't bought it. That's why I haven't pre-ordered it. It's why I never bought a Wii U. It's that promise. It's the hope of them having the games I want. And then finding out that they're releasing games that are the games I want on the console I already own.
No, you make a very good point.
Except for Metroid.
Right, that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, but that hasn't happened on any console.
Maybe they're saving it for Switch.
And they did make a Metroid game for the 3DS. It just wasn't very good.
Right.
They had that blast ball. Was that what
Federation
it was called?
Force, I believe, is what it's called.
Something dumb, but
yeah, I don't know. I don't know that Nintendo has made a great argument to say, "Hey, go buy this Switch if you haven't already bought a 3DS." You know, I mean, have they? There's like the games that are coming out this year. I mean, Wombat, you said that Nintendo, you made a really good point. So Nintendo, like, to really show that they're serious with this thing, has to come out with their big guns, their big properties, and show the games that they have. And they showed Zelda, but we've seen Zelda before, and we all know that's
they don't
a
have
game.
They don't have a Mario for close to another year.
It's insane. It's insane. It's, they did the exact opposite.
It's too long, and you know, it's people are like, see, they have five games coming out this year. I'm like, they really don't, and they don't have like a, they don't have that triple A Nintendo title once a quarter. I mean, really, and I've cut it down to four.
They've got three. You know?
What are they? They have Zelda.
They have Zelda, Splatoon 2, Super Mario Badonkadonk.
And the Mario Kart remake, isn't that coming out this
year? Are you going to give them that one as well?
I know that people are going to give them
okay,
that
well,
one.
Then you get one a quarter then.
I guess you're so. I guess that's it.
I just heard you pre-order.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, is that, that's, I guess that's it. I don't know how interested I personally am in Splatoon, but... Yeah,
let's compare for a moment the launch lineup of the Wii U and the Switch. So the Wii U actually had third-party support at that
kind
launch.
Kind of.
I mean, it was ports.
It was old ports too, though.
But they had some names that people would have heard of before, and maybe fool them into thinking that this thing is going to get third-party support. They had Assassin's Creed 3, Batman, Arkham City. They had Call of Duty. Black Ops 2, they had Darksiders 2, Mass Effect 3.
Most of these had been out for other consoles, though, for like a year.
Yes, it's true. But it's something. It's something on the shelf.
No, I agree.
And they're names that you've heard of before and say, oh, you know, maybe, even if you're not interested in buying those games because of the reasons you just said, but maybe the next one's going to come out for this system.
What'll also be interesting with the Switch, I know I just kind of veered off, is, you know, how they're going to handle their supply and demand issues on something that has software, and how many shelves of software there are going to be when there's no hardware to go with it.
There's going to be plenty of hardware.
You think so?
Yeah, no, there was no shortage of Wii U's. There won't be any shortage of Switches.
I
was able to pre-order three of these things. No problem.
I was able to get one. And I'm lazy.
I'm looking forward to that.
We forgot Zombie U, which was an exclusive game for the Wii U.
And before people ask why I ordered pre-ordered three of them, it's because I will cancel or return two of them. I just, whichever one gets to me first is the one I'll keep.
Hedge those bets.
Right.
For science.
Yep.
For the people. People need to know what you think. Wow. All right. There's some really good questions from people about the Switch.
All right.
Let's do a few of them. At Nick Lore says, I agree with the criticisms you've tweeted out earlier this week about the Switch, but what is something that you like about it?
The Nintendo games.
Yeah. No one's ever, I've never said I don't like Nintendo games.
I like the concept. I think that's a good concept. The concept of you know, you can play on your TV or you can take it with you. What I don't like, I like it in theory. I don't like the execution. Is that really something that I like about it? That I that I follow the
instructions? I mean, it's fine. I think that's a fine thing to like. It's the dream. The dream is that, hey, I wish I could take this PS4 with me and play it everywhere.
Right. Well, no, I mean, I think what the real dream is, and what one would think would be an attainable dream, would be, hey, this thing is now the Nintendo system, and I can access like a wide variety of virtual console games from different eras, and not have
them. You'll be able to do that.
Yeah, but how long is that going to take?
They'll slowly build it up. They're not going to throw everything out there at once because it kind of devalues their portfolio a little bit because they hold on to that stuff.
No, but
really tightly.
But I still, I mean, I'm longing, not longing, I'm not like desperate for sure, but I think as a person who appreciates good business, I'm longing to see Nintendo say, hey, we have a catalog of games that people want access to. Let's charge a subscription service for that. We can get a premium. Okay, let's charge. We can charge for online, And we can charge for some sort of subscription service where we're not dripping out one game a month to you, but you have access to, like, you know, hundreds of games. You know, so that's where you want to be. You want to be in the subscription business game. And why get, you know, settle for $10 a month from people when you can get a lot more? I don't know. I think it's like just missed opportunity. Because they don't want to take risks. They just want to do the same old thing.
What did you like about the Switch? Well, I bet you didn't answer.
Yeah.
Well, I like the idea of these games. You know, what I see of the new Zelda game, I like the new Zelda game. I know that, you know, you guys have your criticisms of it, but I see it and I'm like, I want to play that game. And there's nothing. I
think the criticisms you're talking about with us with the Zelda game are strictly on graphical. Bo Cheap and I don't think it is very nice to look at.
I like the art style a lot.
The art style looks okay, but everything looks washed out. Like you said earlier, it looks like they turned the contrast up all the way.
I have this weird problem with my TV. You know, remember I told you I bought like the Evolution kit to make it have HDR? Samsung's just sucks, man. I mean, so now whenever it feels like it, it just turns the contrast up to 100. And everything gets washed out. And I have to go in and turn it back down to 75 is where I usually keep it. So I know what a washed out picture looks like. And I watched the latest Zelda trailer. And yeah, I said, this looks like my fucking TV.
But it also still looks like a Zelda game I want to play.
Yeah. I mean, no, I'm really excited for that.
Right.
And that's really all the best thing compliment you can give a console is it has a game on it that I really want to play. But it also, you know, to be in all fairness, it's coming out in March, and so is the new Mass Effect game, and that's coming out on things I already own. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to spend $350. I could just spend. I have no idea what version of Mass Effect I'm getting yet. That's another thing I need to deal with on my own personal time. But right. You know, let's say $48.
Yep.
Instead of
a lot of
$350.
I think the issue kind of boils down to. The device itself, if you did not have the Nintendo games on it, this is not a device that you would want to go get.
No, I would not get it if it was an Nvidia Switch,
which it is.
We wouldn't it wouldn't get nearly as much press as it's getting.
Right. Here's a great question from @311Phillies. Was it a mistake for Nintendo to not cancel Zelda on Wii U and force you to buy a Switch to play it?
I believe that's 311.
What did I say? 311?
311, yeah.
Hi, who are you to say?
Someone who knows the difference between three doors down, third eye blind, and 311.
But maybe it has something to do with the Phillies.
Or their area code. What's the area code there?
I think that, what is the area code in Philadelphia? 215, I believe.
311.
I do not think... they should have canceled the Wii U version because that just makes people upset about the Wii U.
Yes, there are people out there, but that is a thing that is happening. People will not buy a Switch, but probably not that many.
Right. That they've done the math there.
Yeah.
And most people that have bought a Wii U are going to buy a Switch.
Yep.
Let's see here. Okay, here's a theory. @ScottDave writes in and says, there's a possibility that the general public is ready for a new Nintendo platform. A lot of Wii owners did not buy a Wii U.
Certainly they didn't. That is an understatement.
That is an understatement. It's like 110 million Wiis, and did they get up to 4 million? I forget what Wii U got up to. I don't know that the Switch looks appealing to people who bought the Wii and didn't buy the Wii U.
The games they presented certainly aren't. Other than 1-2 Switch, everything is very core gamer centric. Like, you've got your Fire Emblem Warriors, you've got Zelda, you've got Bomberman, Arms. These are not games that are like...
Tennis.
Yeah, these aren't tennis. They're not boxing. Well, I guess Arms is boxing. But it's not.
Yeah, I think Arms will play well on the Jimmy Fallon show.
You do?
As will that other game. That was it, 1-2 Switch or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess they will.
That's gonna play well on late night. It'll play well on Ellen.
But do you think it'll play well?
And that's why those games are made.
But those games, they're not gonna keep making those games.
No, but they're gonna make them now so they could go on. So you could have Reggie on the talk shows.
Oh, poor Reggie.
I know, poor Reggie.
I feel bad for Reggie.
Yeah. Don't feel bad for Reggie. I'm sure you can look up his salary online. I'm sure it's posted.
Doesn't mean he's fulfilled as a person.
I would find a way.
You are not talking about you. I'm talking about Reggie.
I think
Reggie has probably a lot of good ideas at this point and has spent a lot of time studying the American marketplace and probably knows what's going on and probably would like to see some of his ideas get implemented. And I feel like he's getting shut out. That's what I have to say about the matter.
Glassdoor.com? Is that, you think that's reliable?
Stop. It doesn't matter how much money he makes. Look, when you're an executive at a high level executive, it's not about the money. He's already rich. He wants to have an impact.
I don't know. Well, maybe he likes that. Maybe he just really likes the ability to provide for his family in a way that, you know, that really very few people will ever be able to do. Maybe that's the fulfillment.
First of all, I love how I'm telling you what Reggie's thinking. Like I've ever actually, I spoke to Reggie once. Remember?
Yes, I know. I was with you.
Remember when we asked him a question on mic and I didn't turn on the mic?
Uh-huh.
That was good.
I do.
The lost interview. Yeah. Reggie could have both of those things, Wombat. He could be working at a company that values the input of people from America and make a lot of money.
He's having to do a lot of interviews for this thing.
Yes.
Like, my goodness. Like, compiling information on this thing, so many outlets have interviewed him. Like, he should have just had a press conference.
He's busy.
People could ask him questions. He's not so busy that he's having like 8 interviews a day with all.
No, that's what I mean. That's what he's busy doing.
Oh, according to the I'm sure very reliable website of getnetworth.com.
Oh, stop! Who cares?
He apparently is worth $21 million. I don't believe that. That's
don't go. You can't go by any of those websites. It's ridiculous.
I was gonna say I wouldn't go by that number though.
I told you. I listened to somebody who was on Howard Stern who said that they had no money, and I looked them up on one of those sites, and they said that they had several $1 million.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm telling you, I'm sure that's not right about that at all. I'm just saying.
Right.
I'm sure he makes. He's a very nice living. Yeah,
yes, of course. Nobody's contesting that. I think. I don't know. I think that Reggie's job. You're right. His job is to be. Look, he's became a personality after going on stage at E3 for that first time. He became an internet meme, basically. And to put Reggie in a room with people and have him interviewed. And chances are your coverage of Nintendo is going to be a little more positive than is if you just put him, just did a press conference to everybody or had somebody else talk to him.
Sure, sure.
Reggie's a personality. Look, these decisions are made like for a reason. They're not just left to caution. You know, somebody thought that this was a way to get better coverage, have people talk to Reggie. Even though he doesn't answer your questions, really. He just says what he's going to say. But hey, he's got to do what Reggie's got to do. He's got to spew the gospel from Japan. And I don't know. It wasn't all great news, I would say.
He's got to act like he has answers, but know that he doesn't have answers.
Or he has to act that he doesn't know what the answers are, but he knows that it's going to be bad news and has to just say that don't worry, there's more news to come. Yeah. I mean, do you really think the virtual console news is going to be positive? Has anything about the way Nintendo's handled these things in the past led you to believe that? Because
he keeps hinting at that they're going to be tied to your account and it's going to be your universal.
Oh, has he? Oh, okay.
Well, he's hinted at it. He hasn't come out and said it. At least not any details on what that actually means.
It'll be tied to your account. And you'll get a 10% discount when you rebuy for the Switch. But don't worry. But remember, so they'll probably add multiplayer into these games, and that'll give them an excuse to charge you for them again. I think that's really the strategy.
I don't have any problem with them charging again for if they're adding stuff to it.
But there's people who have spent like you know, four digits.
They knew what they were getting into.
I think they want to believe.
Everybody wants tickets. To believe Nintendo. It's Nintendo. I saw this earlier. Somebody replied to me on Twitter, and they said it was the No Man's Sky effect. And I think Nintendo itself is just the No Man's Sky effect. Like, everybody wants this to be something, and Nintendo to be something that they're not quite. Like, they're always going to fall short of everybody's aspirations for what Nintendo could be.
And yet, I think people are going to be more forgiving of Nintendo than they were to No Man's Sky.
Absolutely. For some people, they've got an excuse for everything that Nintendo does.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I think it's pretty clear that Nintendo really is focused on Japan, if not just as a market, but only the people in Nintendo of Japan. And that,
well, you look at their third party support and it's all like Japanese RPGs.
Yep.
Which is great if you like those.
I was gonna say, if that's the console, there are people that's the console they want, and they're the happiest because they're getting that console.
They're the Vita,
they really want.
The Vita crowd. They nailed it. It's just I don't know if
they don't take
the
West.
What you want to copy?
They don't. Nintendo doesn't really take the West seriously. I don't know why, because that's where the money is and that's where the market is now. Japan is. The population is shrinking and a quarter of the population is over 65. I don't know what they're thinking. And you look at the corporate structure of Nintendo, and Reggie and the guy from Nintendo of Europe are at the bottom of their executive structure. Literally the last two guys. It's the Europe guy and then Reggie. It's crazy. America's got like three times the population of Japan at this point in terms of available customers. It just doesn't make any sense.
It makes sense in the sense that if they can make a profit by focusing on what they're comfortable with, I guess I'll say it that way.
That does make sense. They don't want all the money. They just take their little slice.
Like, exactly. We could be profitable if we work this way. This has worked for us for 120 years.
Right.
We're going to continue to do it.
The problem is they're a public company, and if you're a shareholder, like, nobody wants to fucking hear that.
No, I'm not, and you're right.
That's how you get people to sell the shares of your company.
I guess if you're investing in Nintendo, you need to understand.
Yes, please understand.
Please understand, exactly.
Yeah. Good luck, Nintendo. I really hope that, like, something happens. I mean, and this thing just catches fire somehow. I mean, not in the Samsung sense, but... in like the Wii sense.
I hope it's a great device to play Nintendo games on. That's really
best case.
All I want out of it. Yeah, is that, and I mean, the scenario that I want personally is to just pretty much just leave that thing in the dock full time, pick up a pro controller, and feel like I'm getting a modern Nintendo home console experience. I don't expect it to be as powerful as the other consoles.
Yes.
Hopefully
your phone is charged if you want to do online play.
I'm waiting for more to come out on that to see exactly what.
You don't want to wear a bulky gamer headset anyway. Just get your phone and these headphones and put them in, and then you can't hear the game anymore. Perfect. But the chat, it's going to sound good.
You can put your phone on speakerphone.
Perfect.
Can't you?
But it looks like it's using that for... matchmaking and voice chatting, and
I don't know. It's
free with the subscription, paid subscription. There'll be
that costs money, then, right?
Yeah, that's costing money.
Yes, well,
that's
online services
free,
cost money.
Free with subscription is not a thing that exists.
I'm talking about the app.
This magazine, it's free with subscription.
No, but the app does nothing if you don't have the subscription. So it might as well be free. It probably is free.
It's not free. You're paying for it with subscription.
I would think.
How much
like,
do we think the subscription's going to be?
It's going to be $50
a year. $60 a year.
50 to 60 a year.
I'm going to say 60. They both charge 60 now, right? Or PlayStation's 50 still?
I think they're.
I never pay full price for them, so I don't really know.
I don't know either. I know
Xbox
PlayStation's
went up
50, and I think Xbox is 60. Live is 60.
Yeah, Xbox went up. I remember to 60. So they'll probably charge 60. Look, the Nintendo tax. Fuck it. If Microsoft, the way they look at it is Microsoft can charge 60, you know, we can charge 60 too. We're Nintendo. We fucking brought video games back from the dead.
Yeah, but I got Killer Instinct Season 2.
I saw that. There was I didn't personally download it. I downloaded something, though.
Why not? It's worth downloading.
I'm not going to
play it. It's got a lot of content.
I'm not going to play
it. It's like 13 downloads on that thing.
I don't want to. It's too much work for me. It's too many. Too many downloads. I like my games with no downloads.
Yeah.
Do you like 32 gigabytes of built-in storage?
I don't know. But there's no, I mean, look, how many games are there even? You could put all the launch games on that, probably.
I think they said Zelda takes up half of it.
Oh. No, really? No.
Yeah, if you'd go with the digital version.
Oh, right. Because it's probably usable, really, like 26 or something.
Yeah, some of it would be system stuff and everything.
Or is all the system stuff on your phone? I heard that you can't even turn the Switch on unless you... Actually, the whole system runs off your phone. So you have to bring your phone around with you everywhere.
So, I mean, those memory cards, they're not super expensive. Those SDXC memory cards.
Okay, so that's good.
But they're not cheap either.
Oh, that's bad.
Right.
Say something else. I'll tell you if it's good.
I think it's like $40 for 128 gigs.
I don't know. I don't see myself buying that many games, to be honest. It's going to be, you know, you'll be able to take your time and really plan out.
Well, that's going to be another thing that needs to be figured, you know, that we'll need to wait and see what is the file size? How big is this Legend of Zelda game? You know, how big is the
takes up half of it.
So oh, it does?
It's somewhere. Yeah. Takes up half of the 32 gigs is what I read. So.
Well, that's not that big. You just need a big card.
It's just that 32 is really small.
32 is just really small. It's not that it's a big game. It's just.
Oh boy. Well, maybe there'll be some really good news before, like at E3, that'll really change our minds. What's the E3 booth going to be? Just Zelda? Oh no, because Zelda have been out for several months already.
Yeah, it's going to be Mario Bros.
The Mario experience. Mario Look, we're Mario only going to have Splatoon. Mario.
Splatoon won't be out yet, I don't think.
I mean, I could see them just having a whole booth full of Mario. Couldn't you?
No, they'll have Splatoon as well.
Oh, okay. Two things?
And Fire Emblem.
But don't maybe they just want to immerse everybody in Mario.
They'll have the Fire Emblem Warriors.
They wouldn't have even brought that last year, though. That would be in the Tecmo Koei booth.
They only had Zelda last year, right?
Yeah.
So this year's only going to be Mario.
It's possible.
Immersion. Mario Immersion. I mean, it looked pretty cool, I guess.
It looked crazy.
Yeah.
The art styles didn't match. I don't know. It looked weird.
Yeah, I would hit that. I like weird.
My five Vault Boy Funko Pops all look very worried about this.
About the Switch? Switch prospects?
They all have the same look on their face.
Well, sad face?
Yeah.
All right, I think that's enough show for today. I'm emotionally drained from talking about the Switch. It's happened. I feel like we'll probably be talking about the Switch a lot in the coming weeks. Because
we got to get our mind. This was just a bunch of rambling at this point.
Yeah, I didn't write down any notes or anything. Nobody did.
There's just so much info out there, and it's not enough info.
Info overload, and it's getting late anyway.
Yes. I'll remind everybody to follow us on Twitter at GPD, at New Wombat, at Shipwreck, at Video Game Deals, of course. And Wombat's got another podcast called Uninformed Opinions, which you could check out. I heard it's pretty good.
It's all right.
I heard it's all right.
It's all right.
And yeah, I think that's it. We'll see you next week.
Bread's done.
What's this? It feels like something shaking in a glass. The Joy-Con can convey to you the feeling of ice cubes colliding in a cup. You can even tell. One, two, three. The number of ice cubes in the glass. And you can feel water filling the glass. This new sense of realism is produced by the precision of the new HD Rumble. One, two.